broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. A late-night hearing of a House committee has produced an historic vote against a member of the president's cabinet. CBS's Nicole Killian has details.
The head of the House Homeland Security Committee said Republicans had no other choice but to bring forth articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, claiming a dereliction of duty at the U.S.-Mexico border. The articles include willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law and breach of public trust.
A full House vote is expected in the coming days. We're learning more about the drone attack in Jordan over the weekend that killed three American soldiers. Here's CBS's David Martin.
The U.S. military is rushing additional air defenses to that base in Jordan, which officials acknowledge had not been as well protected against drone attack as American troop locations across the border in Iraq and Syria. Sunday was the first time the outpost, known as Tower 22, had been attacked. The drone came in low and slow shortly after parts of the air defense system had been taken offline to allow a returning American drone to land safely.
President Biden told reporters yesterday he has decided how the U.S. will respond to the attack, which a group of Iran-linked militants is now claiming responsibility for. An atmospheric river will move into California this week, bringing back-to-back storms. KION-TV reporter Natalie Gutierrez says officials are getting ready for heavy rain and possible flooding.
Santa Cruz County says that they're preparing for the storm.
Do a lot more preventative and preparedness communication with the public.
The alert warning communication tool is called CruiseAware and notifies people about weather-related events.
Through that communication platform, we're able to message out.
The county says they're clearing culverts and have been working on the creek channels to make sure they're clear of debris.
The Federal Reserve is expected to wrap up its two-day policy meeting today by leaving short-term interest rates at their current level. Here's CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The Fed is trying to balance its goal of bringing down inflation without cooling down the economy too much. The Fed is seeking confirmation that inflation is thoroughly contained before they start cutting rates.
Come on! Happy, happy dance, dance. Happy, happy dance, dance.
There's been a lot of buzz over Sesame Street's Elmo on social media the past few days. On X, Elmo asked, "How is everybody doing?" The post got a huge response, including from some folks who said they weren't doing so well. They said they're sad or they're depressed. The account then posted links to mental health resources and said Elmo has learned that it's important to ask a friend how they're doing. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers want to help the news industry. The Wisconsin Civic Information Consortium would create a newspaper tax credit and a local journalism fellowship program. Smaller advertising budgets and several layoffs have hurt the news business in Wisconsin. Accurate voting information's been put under assault over the last several election cycles. Rachel Ori is with the Bipartisan Policy Center. She says she's optimistic about the future.
Election officials and voting advocates around the country are sort of well prepared to mitigate and respond to increases in misinformation because they've spent the last couple of years flexing that muscle and learning how to respond to misinformation and election denial campaigns.
There's a bill in the legislature to require candidates to disclose when AI is used in campaign materials. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Marquette with a win on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a victory over Villanova. 85-80, the Golden Eagles now with a five-game winning streak. Thanks to Tyler Kolick with a career-high 32 points. They play Saturday at Georgetown. Baseball, the Brewers general manager Matt Arnold says he's excited they were able to sign first baseman Reese Hoskins in free agency from the Phillies.
We couldn't be more thrilled to have Reese here. And I think we talked about kind of over the course of the offseason, you know, this was the kind of player that we were looking for. You know, I mean, this is a guy that has a long track record of being a really, really good hitter. He's had some huge hits in really big games. That's what we're looking for.
NFL Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark has been named to the Pro Bowl. I asked him, how could they have dominated the 49ers offense through 3.5 quarters and let the game slip away?
Yeah, I feel like we did that pretty much the whole game. Last, what, 6 minutes of the game. It's tough. It's tough.
It's the Packers' Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight with lows in the upper 20s by sunrise. Light winds across the area. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies will work in with highs in the lower 40s, a southwest breeze. For Thursday, partly sunny skies once again in the lower 40s. It's 33 at our studios.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball. At noon on Wednesday, it's Tryggvi Olsen, Pat Kreitlow, and a big Taylor Swiftie show. Why are MAGA folks so upset? Join us at noon.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, taking your phones, engineering, and getting us through a lovely afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. It is Tuesday, January 30th, 2024, a Tuesday, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. Mr. Zommers wearing one of our t-shirts, one of our stations there, WIRI.
Wiscountry, yeah. And on the back of the shirt, if I spin around a little bit, can you see it, Todd?
We can see the chicken.
All right, yep, the microphone chicken.
The microphone
has
chicken.
Has it been named yet?
Really? They're still searching for a name?
I was asking, has it? I don't know.
They were holding a contest. I never heard the results, so we'll see. But yeah, one of our great stations, WIRI, across the Civic Media Ready Network. Always fantastic to hear them. And then that's one station I have not been to yet. I have to check that off my list of the many we have been to across the Civic Media Ready Network. So,
and the rest of them, I'm sure you'll hit them all along the way. We'll get more tours going.
We'll get there eventually, yes. Have a nice evening last night?
Yeah, I played video games with my roommate who is not currently on a business trip.
Very good.
Cracked open a singular spotted cow because it felt right, you know. Every once in a while, it just...
And absolutely fantastic. One of our great local breweries here in Wisconsin, New Glarus Brewing. Down in beautiful New Glarus in Greene County, one of my favorite communities, and one of my favorite beers, by the way. You cannot beat a spotted cow.
I feel like nobody who likes beer dislikes spotted cow.
Right.
I have not met anybody.
I have not met an anti-spotted cow person.
Unless they just don't like beer.
Well, yes, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that either. Big show today coming up at the bottom of this hour. Our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, executive producer of Civic Media, stops by for a little Tuesday Tangents with Luke. It was a busy week last night. So poor Lukester, kind of like Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel, kept getting bumped. But we are not bumping him today. He will be here live and in person in the studios just under a half an hour. At 12:30. So going to talk a little news with him and also going to talk a little Milwaukee Bucks. He's a big Bucks fan, our resident Bucks fan, outside of Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, probably our biggest Bucks fan, I would say, in the network. And he'll be here talking the change to Doc Rivers. A little bit bumpy. Bucks lost the first game under Doc Rivers last night.
Yeah, I think as far as him being the number one fan, besides maybe Mike Clemens, I think if you claimed it was anyone else,
right,
or if anybody else claimed to be the number one fan, I think Luke would dispute them on that. Or he'd be like, yeah, sure, you're the number one fan.
And
okay.
And I should probably correct myself, because Mike Clemens is a top-notch reporter.
Right.
And so he cannot be a fan when you're a reporter. So I misspoke there. I didn't mean to disparage Mr. Clemens anyway. He's a fantastic reporter. But I would, you know, he'd probably be angry if he was called a fan. Because if you're a legit reporter, you really can't be a fan.
Well, publicly.
Publicly.
And this is public. So
I remember when the three seasons that I covered Pioneer basketball at UW Platteville, and Bill Ryan was the coach, and we went to a couple of Final Fours. You have to kind of guard yourself, right? Because I was a little bit of a homer on the air, but I was careful to be a broadcaster. And it took me a couple of years, actually, after I got off the air of doing color commentary for Pioneer Sports, to go back to sitting in the stands and like yelling and really being a fan. Because you kind of have to control yourself when you're a broadcaster. Or you should. You should, most of the time. Anyway, Luke Mathers will be here at the bottom of the hour at 12:30. Also, we're going to take a look, probably an hour or two, at goofy things state legislators say in the state capitol. There's never a shortage. And coming up a little bit later, it's going to be a clip from Mr. Ron Tussler, the state representative, Republican from the 3rd District, up in the Fox Valley. So people listening on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, and WGBW Green Bay might have particular interest in this clip. We'll talk about it in a little while. I wanted to start off, though, today by, well, we didn't really recognize yesterday that over the weekend, Derek Van Orden, the 3rd District Congressman, Republican from Western Wisconsin, announced he is seeking re-election. Not a surprise. And I thought we should give Mr. Van Orden the time that he deserves, and we've invited him on this program before, certainly willing to have him on and have a legitimate conversation with him. So far, we have not heard back. Also, this is a sidebar. This is a little promo for tomorrow, by the way. We're really hoping that former Governor Scott Walker may call in tomorrow. We've tweeted, because I don't want to get into this whole thing right now, but The MAGA right is losing their minds over Taylor Swift and the fact that she's going to be at the Super Bowl cheering on her boyfriend, Mr. Kelce, with the Kansas City Chiefs.
And wait, does that include Scott Walker? Is he also ragging on Taylor Swift?
He is not happy, because there was a tweet, we're going to talk about this tomorrow, which says there's a new report, a new poll that hypothesizes that a fifth of voters may be influenced by whomever Taylor Swift supports for president. And Scott Walker took that and retweeted it and said that means a fifth of the electorate is doing it wrong because they're listening to a celebrity. No mind, of course, that the Republicans elected a television celebrity to the White House.
And so that's what it is now. It's a popularity contest for a lot of people.
So I just tweeted that back. And our friend Trevi Olson, who will be on the program tomorrow for the Lincoln Project, has a great thought. He has put together a clip from Taylor Swift from 2021, I believe. We're going to listen to it tomorrow, in which she says why she's standing up and taking a political stance on things. It is awesome. And it all ties in politically. And so I tweeted this back at Governor Walker, and I said, look, legitimate invitation. Come on tomorrow or Wednesday at noon and discuss this with Trigvy and I. Look, the pack is out, so I'm rooting for the Chiefs. And Governor, all we want to know is why you got to be so mean. we have not heard back from the governor yet, but we're hopeful. We're hopeful that maybe he will call in tomorrow. So
it was only 18 hours ago. Maybe he hasn't woken up yet.
But getting a lot of play on the socials right now. Anyway, that's not where I wanted to go. But this kind of ties in because, again, a lot of things on social media that people kind of, you know, don't see. And one of the things that Derek Van Orden, the congressman, Republican from the 3rd, has been talking about ad nauseum is how much he backs the blue. And again, I've said on this program, I'll say it again, I have family who are in law enforcement, and I think the world of them and the job they do. From every indication I know, they have the deep respect of the communities in which they serve as being some of the finest law enforcement officers there are. And also when I was on city council at Richland Center, I chaired the Public Safety Commission, which oversaw the police department. I'll stand corrected. I don't think I ever said no or voted down any requests for our police department because they do a fine job there in Richland Center. So I am pro, you know, back in the blue. Certainly there are cases, and again, I don't want to get into this, but there are cases where people have overstepped, and we've called that out too. But I'm, you know, I don't think you have to have a flag and tell people you back the blue to do that. Just do it quietly, right? But Mr. Van Orden has chosen to do that. In fact, he was in Iowa for the Iowa caucuses. He has apparently endorsed Donald Trump because he was there giving speeches for him. And this is what Mr. Van Orden said in Iowa just a couple of weeks ago.
President Trump backs the blue.
There you go. And you think, well, okay, nothing wrong with that, right? Except for the fact that Donald Trump has also recently called the January 6th insurrectionists, the people who have been arrested, charged, gone through the criminal court system, either pled or found guilty and sentenced and put into prison. Donald Trump has called those people, quote, hostages, unquote. Meaning that they really should not be in jail. Saying that the actions of January 6th were, you know, not a big deal, basically. That you know, it was just a peaceful little thing. So I want to, and Derek Van Orden announced he is running for re-election this weekend. And he, I have to give their team a lot of credit, in all honesty. They've got it down pat. Mm-hmm. They put him in a flannel shirt, in a baseball cap, in blue jeans, and he talks about agriculture, and he talks about Wisconsin, and you know, he's just a good old boy, and he's just a sensible guy from Wisconsin who happens to be a veteran, a flag-waving, Wisconsin cheese-eating, beer-drinking Wisconsinite, good old boy. That is the image that Derek Van Orden likes to put out there. Wants you to believe. What Derek Van Orden doesn't want you to know is that he supports someone for president. And in fact, Derek Van Orden this isn't supposition, by the way. Derek Van Orden was at the United States Capitol at the insurrection on January 6th. He put it on his own Facebook page, bragged about it. He claims he never went inside the Capitol. But he was there. And he absolutely brags about it. And we're going to tell you a story about a Wisconsinite. This is not somebody far-fetched or whatever. This is the story of Riley Casper, 24, of Pulaski, Wisconsin, who has pleaded guilty in the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia to a felony offense of assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers or employees. By the way, I am reading from the press release of the Department of Justice, from the U.S. Attorney's Office, pardon me, District Attorney, or District of Columbia, U.S. Attorney's Office. This came from September 15th of last year. And my understanding is that sentencing has now been, or about to be completed on this guy from Wisconsin. According to court documents, on January 6, 2021, starting at approximately 1:50, Casper sprayed an aerosol container of what is believed to be pepper spray toward law enforcement officers attempting to secure the Capitol building and grounds. That day, Casper also communicated on social media with another individual, declaring, among other things, quote, I pepper sprayed three cops so bad they got undressed and went home. We're going to finish the story of January 6th, Mr. Riley. And why doesn't Derek Van Orden call this out? Why does he support people like this? Is that backing the blue? Not in my book. Stay tuned. More on the other side of this story. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver.
and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, January 30th. Talking about this story of Riley Casper, 24, of Pulaski, Wisconsin, who has pled guilty to being part of the January 6th insurrection. And I want to read you the actual, I've got it right here, my hot little hands. This is from the U.S. United States District Court for the District of Columbia, USA versus Riley Casper defendant. This is the actual case, the legal document. I'm going to read this to you, the first page and a half, two pages here. And as I read it, I want you to think to yourself, does this sound like someone who is backing law enforcement, who backs the blue? And why would Donald Trump support someone like this, defend them, and call them a hostage? And why would Derek Van Orten support Trump and also, in essence, support this guy when he says he backs the blue? I'm going to pick it up here, the second sentence of this court document. The government requests that this court sentence Riley Casper to 41 months insurrection, 3 years of supervised release, and a special assessment of $100. In addition, the government recommends that Casper should be ordered to pay restitution the amount of $2,000. The defendant, Riley Casper, participated in the January 6, 2021 attack on the United States Capitol, a violent attack that forced an interruption of the certification of the 2020 Electoral College vote count, threatened the peaceful transfer of power after the 2020 presidential elections, injured more than 100 police officers. Repeat, injured more than 100 police officers and resulted in more than $2.9 million in losses. On January 5th, 2021, Casper, a 25-year-old cell phone tower worker from Clintonville, Wisconsin, traveled to Washington, D.C. to protest the certification of the Electoral College vote by Congress on January 6, 2021. 3 days later, Casper posted a photograph of Donald Trump to his Facebook account with its direction to, quote, take America back and be there, Washington, D.C., January 6, 2021, will be wild, unquote. On January 6, 2021, he attended the Stop the Steal rally near the ellipse of the United States Capitol, and then at approximately 12:55 p.m., Casper joined a crowd of people who had been amassed near the police line at the Peace Circle to the west of the Capitol building. He video recorded the rioters who pushed and broke down the barriers at the Peace Circle, and then when a friend responded to his video by stating, quote, that's nuts. You were right there when they pushed that fence back, LOL, unquote. LOL, of course, means laughing out loud. And I have to clean this up for radio. Casper responded with, quote, F yeah, bro. I didn't drive 14 hours for nothing, unquote. After rioters broke down the barriers and broke the police line, Casper advanced with the crowd and entered the restricted grounds of the Capitol. He was armed with chemical bear spray. I'm going to stop right here. Anybody in Wisconsin who lives in a rural area knows exactly what bear spray is. You use it to ward off a bear or wild animal. If you use it on a person, it can be deadly. Picking it back up, according to the attorney's office, at approximately 1:50 p.m., Casper held up the canister and deployed the bear spray towards United States Capitol Police and Metropolitan Police Department officers who were attempting to maintain a perimeter on the Lower West Terrace. Casper then moved closer to the officers and again deployed the bear spray at the officers, including Metropolitan Police Officer MV. Later, Casper eagerly bragged on social media, and here it is, in his own words, that he pled guilty to. This is the guy from Wisconsin that Trump and Congressman Derek Van Orten are defending. This guy bragged on social media, according to court documents, quote, "I pepper sprayed three cops so bad they got undressed and went home. Gently brazed many others several times. I basically organized my own little militia and we effing took over Congress." The whole word is there, but of course I have to clean it up for radio. Casper also stated, quote, "I mean, the rest of the crowd gave support, but as you can see in that video, it was my group that busted the first gate and kept chasing the cops down and pushing them back into the Capitol," unquote. He told friends that he found, quote, "something satisfying about pepper spraying cops in riot gear and watching them run from you like a little bitch, even though they have face masks, billy clubs, and full effing body armor," unquote. After his arrest, Casper again boasted that he held a can of pepper spray, quote, "like an effing badass," unquote. For his conduct, the government recommends that the court sentence Casper to 41 months of incarceration, which is the midpoint of the advisory guidelines range between 37 and 46 months. A 41-month sentence reflects the gravity of Casper's actions, his assault on officers, and also takes into account his acceptance of responsibility. These are not the words of a Democrat. These are not the words of Biden. These are not the words of a liberal, progressive person. These are the words of law enforcement. These are the charges to which Mr. Riley from Wisconsin has pled guilty to. And this is the person, and many more like them, that Donald Trump has said he will pardon, he will put back on the streets, he calls them hostages. And this person that we just told you their story, and the hundreds of others like them, is what Derek Van Orten is defending. And yet he has the audacity to tell us in the 3rd Congressional District that he backs the blue. Nothing more offensive, in my opinion. This is the narrative we're going to hear, folks. We're going to hear that Derek Van Orten is this, just this homesy boy from Western Wisconsin that goes to Quick Trip and wears blue jeans and flannel. But don't be fooled. And we will be here from now until November in Amory and La Crosse and Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls and Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids and Richland Center and all of our civic media stations. Those are just the ones that cover the 3rd District. But we'll be here telling you what really goes on with Derek Van Orten. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Take some calls. Also, Mr. Luke Mathers on the other side. A couple of tangents with him. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tylenol Show. We are live for Tuesday, January 30th on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief, the House Homeland Security Committee has approved two articles of impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, UVA's Larry Sabato.
This is extremely rare, and it's extremely rare for a reason. Secretaries in the cabinet respond to the president. They're appointees of the president. They follow the directives of the president.
President Biden has spoken with the families of the three American soldiers killed in a drone attack in Jordan over the weekend. Here's National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
He was grateful for their time. He expressed to them how proud we all are of their service, how we mourn and feel sorrow over their loss.
California is preparing for back-to-back rainstorms this week, says KCBS Radio's Matt Bigler.
National Weather Service says higher elevations could get up to 5 inches of rain over 2 days. Meanwhile, the snowpack in the Sierra Nevada mountains has tripled in the past month.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State regulators can force large factory farms to get permits before discharging pollutants, a judge ruled on Tuesday. The Calumet County judge found that the State Department of Natural Resources can force the permits to protect the state's waters. The lawsuit fighting the permits was filed by the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business group. A Dane County judge has tossed a lawsuit challenging a handful of absentee ballot rules. The lawsuit was filed by the liberal Elias Law Group and argued that rules banning absentee ballot drop boxes and requirements for witness signatures created unnecessary barriers for voters. The judge dismissed some of the group's claims last week. And after saying they were not going to continue to challenge the rules, the judge dropped the case on Tuesday. I'm Nate Wegehoe, Civic Media News.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all. The gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We could see a little patchy fog right away this morning, then gradual clearing through the day, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. We'll get to 46 for a high. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, 28 tomorrow. It will be partly cloudy with a high right around 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and won.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Todd Lowball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, January 30th, 2024. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board taking your phone calls. Always glad to say hello and put you on hold. We'll put you on the air ASAP. Always glad to have our friend, our mentor, our colleague, the great, the effervescent Luke Mathers, who's the executive producer of Civic Media. Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Luke, I said you were a little like Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel last week. You kept getting bumped, but God love you. You're here today.
Yeah. You know, you were just jam-packed full show, week of shows last week, and that's okay.
The president bumped you last week.
Yeah, well, on one of the days. That's okay. But yeah, you were you had a very busy week last week, Todd.
I did. So, it was all over. Well, Green Bay, Wausau, Superior, Hayward.
Yeah, and the previous Friday when we were filling in, we I don't know where you keep all of the thesaurus of adjectives that you do to introduce guests. And it, oh, okay,
right the, there, the
Mr.
old
Zommers
noggin.
And I
right
were like,
there, the old noggin.
We can't necessarily keep up with how many different descriptors Mr. Alba uses. So we had a fun time filling in, but you know, glad to be with you here on a Tuesday afternoon.
Really, well, really appreciate you guys doing that. Did a great job as
we
always.
We didn't burn the place down.
No,
so it was great.
You did fantastic. Thanks for doing that. I greatly appreciate it. Yeah. I know people like, you know, it's good to have a different voice now and again and have people get a different perspective. So
people didn't, you know, grab their pitchforks and torches and try to get me off the air for the
no,
2 hours that
not.
We were filling in. So it was
of
good. It was
not.
Good.
It's election season, Luke. I mean, it's been so for a while, but
has it stopped?
I know. You know, so this weekend, Derek Van Orten announced that he is running for election in the 3rd Congressional District, Western Wisconsin. And as what you well know, we've got a lot of stations that cover that ground over there. Amongst them, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, Green Bay. Not Green Bay. Good Lord, Todd. I'm trying to do this off my head.
Okay.
La Crosse, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, Amory, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center is what I was trying to do there. And so we cover a lot of the 3rd District. And so, you know, Van Orten, he likes to pawn himself off as Mr. Flannel Shirt, baseball cap.
Likes to ride his Harley.
He likes to go to Quick Trips, all this. And that's fine. And but the confusing part is we played this clip where he's very much a back the blue kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Except that we read this in detail description of this dude from Wisconsin, Riley Casper of Pulaski, who has pled guilty to these charges January 6th. And in detail, and the money line, and I don't mean that in a good way, was this one. I'll read it again. Of course, we have to clean it up a little bit for radio. Quote, this is what this guy who has been pled guilty to the January 6th charges has said. Quote, there is something satisfying about pepper spraying cops in riot gear and watching them run from you like a bitch, even though they have face masks, billy clubs, and full effing body armor. Unquote. That to me does not sound like someone who is backing the blue. No. And yet Derek Van Orten was in Iowa recently supporting Donald Trump, who has called people like this guy hostages, not insurrectionists. And I'm just confused and want your thoughts, your take on what's up with Derek Van Orten.
Well, I think it's important to point out that like that individual that was there and pleading guilty to those charges from their events around January 6th, Derek Van Orten was there as well.
Yes.
He was on the grounds of the Capitol that day. He has not gone into detail to describe it when asked by journalists about whether or not he went into the Capitol. We know that he was on the grounds, though. He took selfies. He posted them on social media. We know that Derek Van Orten was there at the events leading up to the Capitol, and he has not accounted for that time of whether or not he did go into that building. So that's still something that the voters of the 3rd CD and Wisconsinites as a whole don't know about this man that's running for a second term to Congress to represent Western Wisconsin in the House of Representatives. So I think there are some unanswered questions there for Derek Van Orden by himself. But it's a very good indicator that some people can come out with platitudes and bumper stickers of "we back the badge, we support the blue," all of the back the blue aspect. But when the rubber hits the road and you actually have to, you know, do things to support law enforcement, standing by individuals like this is not supporting law enforcement. It's not. Cops died that day defending democracy and defending the U.S. Capitol against those insurrectionists. And so it's really easy to say platitudes like backing the badge, but when your actions have shown differently, I think it's pretty hard to take those individuals at their word.
Agreed. 844-967-2789. If you'd like to ask Luke a question or weigh in on this topic, 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly to Stoughton and CJ. Listen, in Stoughton, CJ, we'll see you.
Thanks for taking it, Todd. I get so frustrated listening to how you could describe what Republicans believe. And thank you for allowing us to, you know, a few of us at times, sometimes be able to voice our opinion. You're better at most of the hosts. But, you know, I believe that, you know, these should be done on case-by-case-by basis. If you look at each case, and yes, criminals should be prosecuted. But I find it funny that the Democrat Party supported a candidate, Mandela Barnes, who campaigned on defund the police. Then he took it back. Then he took it back because...
All right, but CJ, I don't want to rehash someone who isn't in elective office. I think it's more important to talk about the leading Republican candidate for office right now, Donald Trump, who has said that he would pardon people like the guy. And I know you've been on the phone for a while. Appreciate you holding. You heard the entire story, and so I think we're in agreement, and I appreciate that. Are you in agreement that the individual that I just read this entire story that he has pled guilty to these charges? Do you agree that that guy should be stay his full term in prison and that he should not be pardoned? Can we at least agree on that?
Well, I don't know every instance of that case because, as we found out, the January 6th committee wouldn't allow all the video in, Todd.
That's not true. You know why? That's not true. Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, Republicans, have said that's not true.
Republicans had to fight for it, just like they're having to fight to get the border secure. There's 300 terrorists on the watch list. The Border Patrol is saying that Biden's policies, even the FBI director Ray says the Biden policies are, there are alarms going off everywhere he looks.
All right, thanks, CJ. I gave you a chance. I want to get your opinion in. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling. To CJ's point, and I don't want to go down this road too far, Luke, but if we want to look at policies at the border, consider this. It's true, certain laws are not being enforced, but the caveat is this was true under every president, including Donald Trump. Take this, for instance. Take the detention mandate, okay? Congress ordered the Department of Homeland Security to detain everyone, but on the fiscal year 23 budget, they only funded 34,000 detention beds. So it's impossible to enforce. That's a great, I appreciate CJ bringing it up. It's another example of Republicans having a rhetoric, but not putting their money where their mouth is.
Right. It's another, I mean, it's on full display. When you see the Donald Trump as the, quote, for lack of a better term, presumptive Republican nominee at this point. Mm-hmm. It seems like he is going to have an insurmountable lead. I don't want to... There's plenty of Republican voters that are still yet to vote in the primary process, but it seems like actions that the Republican Party is trying to take to coalesce around Donald Trump is going to mean that he is the eventual nominee. And for Trump to come out and say, don't pass a compromise deal to address the border, which CJ says is so important. Democrats aren't the ones addressing the border, according to CJ. But really, we've heard from elected officials throughout Republican elected officials throughout both the Senate and the House saying, well, we can't do this now because Trump is telling us we can't. He wants to run on it, so we can't actually, you know, do the constitutional obligation that we have to try to find compromise and pass some form. It's not going to be a silver bullet, as you said. Right. No president has been able to solve this in 40, 50 years. Like, there is a sit-down that needs to happen, and it will be in increments.
Yeah.
But to say, oh, no, this is an existential crisis. There is a crisis at the border. But it has to wait until January 21st right. of 2025 if Donald Trump wins. That's when we can actually right. – it's existential, but don't do anything for it for another year.
And we did an hour on this yesterday. We played Senator Langford from Oklahoma yeah. calling out his own yes. party. Yes. Saying, look, we asked for this. Now it's here.
Yeah.
That wasn't a because Democrat. That was a Republican saying that.
The whole reason that this conversation is happening right now and there's trying to be compromise around it is because House Republicans said, we're not going to give aid to Israel or Ukraine unless we do something at the border. It was their own negotiating tactic that got it to where we are right now. And now they're like, never mind. Yeah. We changed our mind.
And that's basically, that's a paraphrase of what Republican Senator Langford said yesterday on Fox News. 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly to Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, what say you about the old Derek Van Orten and back in the blue?
Well, I have a couple things I want to say. The first thing I want to say is I'm glad you bring Luke on because I used to listen to his show every day, and I missed hearing Luke on the radio, so I'm glad you bring him in.
Well, I miss him too, and that's why we bring him on. I appreciate that. Thank you, Stephen. Go ahead.
With that being said, this just goes to prove that the Back the Blue movement isn't really about backing the cops at all, now, is it? It's about stoking up a certain base and getting them all angry about the so-called defund the police movement, which mm-hmm. if you look into that, really has nothing to do with defunding the police. It really has to do with weeding out the bad cops from within the police departments.
Right.
But with that being said, the Back to Blue movement in and of itself is funny to me because I think 99.9% of Americans, if you ask them, support the police. I don't think any of us think that we could live in a safe and free society without police officers.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
What we don't want is bad cops. We don't want cops that will shoot you down just because of the color of your skin.
Right.
We don't want that. And that's really what the fund the police movement is, in essence. But Back to Blue, I've always thought that movement in a whole was funny because the same people that are screaming Back to Blue are the same people that are going to the Capitol pleading guilty to assaulting police officers. It's the biggest oxymoron I've ever seen in my life.
Yep, Stephen, appreciate it. Thank you so much for your comments. I do not support the defund the whole police movement either. Yes, we need police officers. I said at the top of this piece, I used to be the chairman of the Public Safety Commission, Richland Center, that oversaw the local police department. I've also called out what I view as wrongdoing or overstepping by certain individual police officers. But yeah, I mean, but I think this is really what I want to focus on is the hypocrisy of people like Derek Van Orten saying they back the police and then they support guys like this, Luke, that clearly are attacking police.
And I get that it's a lightning rod, like the defund the police movement is a lightning rod in politics now. But if you want to unpack what it means and try, like, a lot of instances we can see now in areas like Denver and even here in Madison, where the taking off all of the burden that has been put on police departments because of our local municipal governments being stripped down, not being able to provide the services,
right.
and then all of a sudden asking police officers to be social workers,
yes.
to be a mental health advocate. Like the amount of what we were putting on our law enforcement officers was not sustainable. And so rather than trying to militarize police departments around, which we saw throughout the 2000s. Mm-hmm. Like that is a large aspect of what American police forces have been. And so saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to over demand. And we're going to do things like here in Madison with the CARES, the Community mm-hmm. Alternative Response to Emergencies, mm-hmm. which is now being expanded to across Dane County and being studied by third parties to try to implement it in other ways, because it has been successful in not having law enforcement, but having other first responders respond to nonviolent emergencies.
Yeah, absolutely. 844-967-2789. As Matt Flynn says, we see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Tom from West Dallas, Mark from the SAC. We're going to have you on the other side, as well as more from Lukester. What's going on with the Bucks? Luke's going to explain it all to us in 2 minutes. Don't worry. He's got us. This is the Todd Oliphant Show for a Tuesday. Tangents with Luke Mathers along with Aaron Zommers. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Todd Oliphant Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, January 3rd. Zommers on the board taking your calls. Mr. Luke Mathers, Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers for a 30th, already the end of January, yeah, Luke-ster.
It's flying by.
Flying by.
Flying by.
All right. Well, listen, it always flies by too quickly when Luke is here. Going to try to get these calls. I want to get Luke's take on the Bucks as well before we go anywhere. Quickly to the phone lines, Tom from West Dallas. Thanks for hanging around. Tom, what say you?
Hey, good morning or afternoon.
It's all good.
I just, what's his name out there, Van Orden? He's a military person. He is a veteran. And he backs someone who calls our military suckers and losers and says it out loud. Yep. And yet he is still backed by this clown. To me, that is an ultimate disrespect. Therefore, I don't have any respect for him. And as far as like CJ and stuff talking about border and stuff, to me now the whole border is just a joke. That it's once again a big dog whistle for the Republican Party. Obviously, it can't be that mm-hmm. terrible because, well, now we're going to wait. So, right. You know, how can this be that bad? Right. So that's what I see. I think yep. they just blew this out of proportion, and obviously now they don't want to do anything about it. So, yeah, we can wait another 6 months or 8 months, you know, or a year mm-hmm. For something to happen. So, yeah, that's about all I can say.
Tom, really appreciate your comments, your insight, Tom from West Dallas. And we talked about this again yesterday and called this out of Trump calling. There's a great ad right now for Vote Vets with all of these snippets of things he said. Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden wasn't having any of it over the weekend, was going right after him.
Yeah, he was leaning into that. And there was, I think it's also important to point out that a year from now, say all the equation happens and mm-hmm. Donald Trump's president and they have control of Congress, the Republican control of Congress, the would-be Senate majority leader in that instance,
Josh Hawley?
No, Mitch McConnell.
I don't know if Mitch will survive. I honestly, okay. Not his life, but I'm not sure he'll survive as leader.
But the current Senate minority leader, yeah. Mitch McConnell, saying we would not get a deal done under that circumstance. So it's it's not only is there a very strange juxtaposition of it's an existential crisis, but it can't be solved until Donald Trump healthcare. You know, he's going to solve it. He's got a magical healthcare plan that's just
by taking away Obamacare,
and he will solve healthcare. And then he was president for 4 years, and his only response was, who knew healthcare was so complicated? That was what former President Donald Trump's summary stance was on healthcare, because he didn't get anything done. But it was infrastructure week constantly throughout the 4 years of the Trump administration. And guess what? He didn't get anything done on infrastructure.
But if you got a gallon of bleach and a light to stick up your rear end, you're fine. That's how you're going to cure. Remember, that's how he wanted to
that
cure.
Is not,
that's seriously how he wanted to cure COVID.
But it's just baffling to me.
Let's go quickly to Mark in the sack. Mark, thanks for hanging around. Mark, what say you?
Thanks, guys. And you pointed out the reason CJ is banned from certain programs is because he violated FCC rules, and that's why he's been banned.
Well, look, I don't want to beat up on – I don't want to call people out too much by name, Mark. I mean, other shows can do other things. And yes, we can't have people breaking FCC laws. But look, I take all callers. I try to get different viewpoints. But yes, I mean, I get the point. Go ahead, Mark.
And the point I was making is it's not because of his viewpoint. It's just because of that. And CJ should remember, is Republicans now are dragging their feet on getting some kind of deal done for the border. If it's that important, we need to get it done. We need to get it done now. And for all these guys that they think that, you know, Abbott is doing the right thing, laying out a concertina wire and putting the border down like it was done when the old iron curtain dropped and keeping people inside the Soviet Union, that rather than keeping people out, it is just kind of sad. But it is just... these are human beings trying to get here, and we have to have some kind of humane immigration policy in this country. And the way we solve that is we have to commit resources to it to solve that problem, because I don't imagine any of these employers down there that are hiring people that are here undocumented are complaining about the fact that they got these workers working for them and that they're perfectly willing to have them work for them, but they don't want to admit they're actually violating the law by hiring those folks.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Really appreciate the call. I want to round out this part by words from one of our regular listeners, Jack from Merrimack, who wrote this on the text line. Says, quote, that Van Orden is a hypocrite isn't a surprise. This is the guy who disrespectfully, obscenely cursed some Capitol pages for disrespectfully lying on the floor to look at and take pictures of the magnificent dome. I think appreciating that dome in awe of his beauty is very respectful. And let's not even go into Van Orden's lies about supposed dead there, unquote, Jack from Merrimack. It's going to be an interesting race. Luke, thankful that we have the Civic Media Radio Network across the 3rd District to keep people honest and to bring some of these factoids.
Yeah, talking to voters across the state of Wisconsin here at Civic Media, and the 3rd District's well represented with station coverage, but it's going to be a long, it's already the end of January, but it's going to be a long 2024.
So. All right, we left you all of 2 minutes to talk about the Bucks' busy day news-wise, I guess.
Yeah.
Give us your thoughts. Doc Rivers picking up an L in the first try. Should we be concerned, or is it just shaking off the rust?
Honestly, I don't know how much, I don't think it's good to judge at this point Doc's performance this quickly in, like, his first game at the helm. It was a great start. Like, the game started off and they were leading by a double digit lead within the first quarter.
Here's a more fair question. Were you surprised by the coaching change at this point? You know, I don't think they should have got rid of Coach Bud. Let's see.
I agree. I think this all stems from a very, very quick reaction to a tough loss. Like, it's a tough loss to swallow, being a 1 seed losing to an 8 seed in the playoffs last year. And so I, at the time, thought it was a little rush to fire Bud. I think Griff's a great guy. I think Adrian Griffin's going to have a future as a head coach in the association. But the Bucks have a very short window right now to win. And from what they saw through the first better part of the first half of the season, they didn't think that Griffin was going to be the guy that could get it done.
Do you think Giannis had anything to do with it?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't think that's the instance. I think it seems like Adrian Griffin may have lost the locker room, but I don't think that was all Giannis. I think that was the troubles that they were having on defense.
It seems like he just lost the locker room. It seems like
thing in particular caused that.
Yeah, I don't think the team had much respect. I don't want to say any, but the respect seemed to be pretty low. They seemed to be much more jacked up and energized since they got rid of him.
To expect a first-time head coach to lead as veteran of a locker room that the Milwaukee Bucks have was a tall task. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see how these next couple of weeks develop between now and the All-Star break coming up. And then when the team gets back together after that break, how they can push forward to hopefully a very, very long playoff run.
You can hear the Bucks on select stations across Civic Media. Hopefully one of yours is selected. You can hear the the Wisconsin Badgers. They're up to number 6 in the AP poll on the Civic Media app on select stations as well. You can always hear Luke Mathers right here on Tuesdays. Thanks, Lukester.
Thanks, Todd.
Back with Hour 2. Don't go anywhere.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour.